Thanks, Helen. Hey, I really like what Matt said about the grace of God. If you go away with anything this morning, go away with that. That the grace of God is supposed to touch and govern our lives. I love that. Hey, we're going to continue our series on raising the bar. We've been walking through the book of Colossians. I love the book of Colossians. It's actually my favourite book of the Bible. And 2 weeks ago, Andrew was talking about how in Colossians it says Jesus created the world and he holds the world together and it was all created by him and for him. And then it goes on to say that Jesus is the head of the church. I love that. That Jesus is the creator of the universe. He holds it all together just by his word, and it was all created by him and for him, and he's the head of the church. During the week, I'm driving my car just praying. I go for drives and I pray, because if I always pray when I'm sitting still, I fall asleep, so I go for a drive, and I'm driving along, and for about an hour, I'm just praying, and I'm thinking of that scripture, and I'm going, God, I love it that you are the head of the church. I love it that you are the one who builds the church. I love it, the fact that if I labour and Andrew labours and the staff labours and the volunteers labour, if we labour but you don't build it, God, we labour in vain. God is the head of the church, amen? He's the boss. He's the king. And I love that, and I love the book of Colossians. And so today we're going to read from Colossians 3, 12 to 15. So if you have your Bible, fantastic, feel free to look at it. Or you can read up on the screen, because we're going to have the passage there. So Colossians 3, 12 to 15 simply says this: since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. It's not a big passage that we're looking at today. In fact, I want to make it even smaller by only looking at the second half of it. And in verse 13, it says this: make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So this passage is obviously talking about the issue of forgiveness. And we're talking about raising the bar. So really what we're talking about when we speak about raising the bar, we're actually talking about becoming spiritually mature. And I want to suggest to you today that one of the fruits, or one of the things that is evident that you are growing in spiritual maturity, is that when you walk into community, when you and I do Christian community, when we do church together, we walk into it and we are looking to forgive. That's one of the evidences of a spiritually mature person, is that you are a forgiver. Spiritual maturity, it's not how long you've been in church. I can see you better when I take my glasses off. Spiritual maturity is not how long you've been at church. Spiritual maturity is not what you know. I think sometimes we get that confused. Spiritual maturity in this context is that you are learning to walk in forgiveness when you're in Christian community. Notice it says this: remember that the Lord has forgiven you. I love that, because what Apostle Paul is doing here, he starts with identity before he moves into practice. Your identity is that you have been forgiven by God himself. When Jesus was on the cross, he died for you, and you have been forgiven. Apostle Paul starts with identity before he moves into practice. And I love how Paul says this: remember that the Lord forgave you. It's like he's saying that there are times that we can forget that we're forgiven. Apostle Paul says, remember that the Lord has forgiven you. We can be Christian people and forget that he's forgiven us. I want to suggest to you that sometimes it's okay for God to remind us of our own history or our own story. I think it's okay for sometimes to be reminded and taste our depravity so we can be reminded that we are forgiven. I want to suggest that when you and I know that we are forgiven by God, truly understand that he forgives us, we are more likely to walk into community and forgive other people. The passage goes on to say this, forgive anyone who offends you. I find that incredibly challenging. This is why I think sometimes what we do when it comes to forgiveness is goes, oh, we need to forgive people for the big things. For abuse, for lying, cheating, stealing, the big stuff. But this passage says this, forgive anyone who offends you. You know what I mean? It's not the big sins, but it's anyone who's offended you. Do you know sometimes where someone makes a comment, just a small comment, but offends you a little bit. And you kind of get into your car, you're driving home. Maybe I'm the only one who does this. But you start to have conversations with that person in your head. And you start going over what you should have said to that comment. And you start thinking about it. And without knowing it, that one comment that someone made has offended you. And without knowing it, you become a little cynical or bitter or resentful over time. It's not the big sins. It's not the abuse and the lying and the cheating and the stealing. It's the small offense sometimes that we actually need to forgive. It's the one-line statements that some people make. I think this is incredibly important. Really important. Because I think this, I've heard it said like this, offence is the bait of Satan. I've heard this written down in a book. It illustrates this. What the devil does is he sends this small little demon into your church. He comes up to you and whispers something in your ear about something that someone said. It's not a big sin, it's just a small sin. And then the demon goes away on holidays and comes back and the church is destroyed. Because we tend to think we have to forgive the big stuff. But we forget about the small things that where we get offended. The one-line statements. The comments that people make. The other day I had this happen to me. Someone said something that was quite offensive to me. I was a little hurt. And I got in my car. And there I was going over in my head what I should have said to the person. Witty comebacks, you know. And then I started thinking about how arrogant that guy was and how could he say that. And then it dawned on me, Cameron, the Bible says, forgive people for those who offend you. It wasn't a big sin. It was just a one-line statement. I want to throw out the challenge that sometimes God will offend your mind to reveal your heart. Sometimes, you know, I have this rule in my life that any time I get offended by someone, I always ask this question, why am I offended? And you know what I discover? It's usually my pride. Or I feel rejected. God will offend my mind to reveal the state of my heart. My friends, who's offended you? And you haven't thought about forgiving them because it's just an offence. It's just something that someone says. And yet this passage says that you need to forgive everyone who offends you. Just an offence. Scripture also says, make allowance for people's faults. Think about that. Think about that. It's actually giving people permission to not be perfect. It's actually letting people off the hook. Do you know, I've said this many times. I have married the best woman. She's delightful 99% of the time. She's just delightful. But like any marriage, she's not perfect. And every now and then she'll say something to me that kind of like offends me a little bit. And I have this rule in my life now. When my wife offends me, this is what I do in my head. Cam, it's okay. She's not perfect. Let her off the hook. I want to suggest this, my friends, that when you and I are captivated by the forgiveness of God towards us, when we are captivated by the story of the cross, and we know that His grace, like Matt was talking about, has forgiven us, we will step into community and you will let people off the hook quicker. You will make allowance for people and you will learn to forgive anyone who offends you. If you look around the church now, or you look at your family or your friends, could the Holy Spirit pop into your mind something that someone said and He says, you still hold on to that? You still cling to that? You haven't forgiven that person. It wasn't the big sin. It wasn't the abuse or the cheating or deep lying. It was simply a comment. And the Holy Spirit would say, forgive anyone who offends you. We're talking about raising the bar. So we're talking about spiritual maturity, and spiritual maturity in this context is when you and I learn to be impacted by the forgiveness of God, step into community and let people off the hook. I'm not saying there aren't consequences to things, but I'm talking about the small offences that we have. We just lay it down and we forgive. Who do you need to forgive? Do you know, I said this to Andrew. I was preparing this message, finished preparing the message. I said, Andrew, I just don't feel right about it. I said to my wife on Saturday, it just hasn't landed. I just feel uncomfortable. I'm not settled, I'm not peaceful about it. So I revisited that, and I hate doing that because, you know, when you finish a sermon, you want to, you know, not have to redo it. It's more work. And Saturday afternoon, I sit down, and you know what I did? I deleted a third of it because I have a feeling that God wants to pinpoint this issue. We need to learn to forgive the small offences in the lives of those around us. We need to learn to make allowance for people to not be perfect. Amen? That is spiritual maturity. That is raising the bar. And then verse 20 to 12, it says this, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Again, notice it starts with identity before it moves to practice. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. It starts with who you are in Christ. Before you step into community, you need to know the peace of God that comes from Him before you step into community and practice it. You know, the word rule here, let the peace of God rule in your life, is another word for govern. Let the peace of God govern your life. This is more than just staying calm. It means because you have been reconciled to God, because you belong to Him, because you know that you are secure in Him, you have a deep, profound peace in your heart. It is possible to walk into Christian community where you are experiencing conflict and disagreement and even hurt, and still know the peace that comes from God. That's possible. It starts there. Peace is not an option. It's part of being spiritually mature. Let me say that again. Knowing the peace of God is part of being spiritually mature. We are called to be a community of people that mirrors the character of Jesus. Let me say that again. We are called to be a community of people that mirrors the character of Jesus. We are supposed to sit at Jesus' feet and let him rub off on us. We're supposed to spend time in our devotional life focused on him, getting into the word, getting to prayer, and allowing his peace to settle on us. You know that peace that goes beyond all understanding? We are supposed to have that peace and then step into community and practice peace with one another. How's your devotional life going? Are you drawing near to the Prince of Peace? Do you know he is living water? He's living water. And we're supposed to draw near to him, abide in him. He's the Prince of Peace. Know his peace and then step into community and be peaceful. Sometimes I feel like we step into community and we're empty vessels. We haven't been with Jesus. He hasn't filled us with his love. He hasn't filled us up with his peace. We're not spending any time with him. So when we step into community, we're empty. How do you give away what you don't have? I want to suggest, my friends, that when we know the forgiveness of God, we step into community and we left people off the hook. We make allowances for people's faults. And we forgive those who are offended. And when we know the peace of God that comes from only God himself, we can step into community and know his peace even in the context of conflict. Just as we finish, I want to just look at the last statement in that scripture. It simply says, and always be thankful. It's like it's tagged on at the end there. Just always be thankful. This is actually a command. It's not a suggestion. Paul is actually commanding us to be thankful. And it's written in the context of community. So it's saying this, if you want to walk in peace and forgiveness, your heart will be grateful and thankful. When you know God has forgiven you, when you know his peace, you move in thankfulness. Let me suggest this. Are you thankful? Because if you're not thankful, you've got to ask yourself the question, am I impacted by the forgiveness of God? And am I walking in his peace? There's a transition here. You know God's forgiveness, therefore you know his peace. You're therefore going to be thankful. You know what thankfulness does? It guards your heart against bitterness and resentment and being cynical. If you are thankful for this community, you are more likely to guard your heart against gossip. Against being malicious or cynical. You forgive people, you walk in peace, and you are thankful. And that guards your heart. My friends, we're talking about spiritually mature people. We're talking about raising the bar. And I just simply want to suggest to you today that raising the bar, being spiritually mature, is about stepping into community, knowing that God's forgiven you and you forgive those around you. not for the big stuff. I'm not talking about the big stuff. I'm saying you forgive the big stuff. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the one-line statements, the minor offences that we get that build up in us over time. And I would suggest that maybe God wants to put his finger on the one-line statements that build up in you over time. Because the Bible says, forgive those who offend you. Spiritually mature people aren't just people who forgive, but they are people who walk in peace. They know God's peace and they walk in it. Spiritually mature people are those who are thankful because it guards your heart. What would Jesus put his finger on in your life today? Would he say to you, there's this person that offended you and you're clinging to that and you need to forgive them? You need to make allowance for their faults. They're not perfect. Is there a family member, a person in the community, a neighbour, a person in the church? I believe this. I believe God wants his presence to be here more and more and more. I don't think we've arrived at what God has got for this church. But I think one of the things that opens the door for God's presence is when we forgive each other. How's your peace? Are you drawing near to the Father and getting your peace from him? Are you learning to walk into community not as an empty vessel but filled up with his peace? So that you can be gentle with people around you. So you can be loving and kind and peaceful. And how's your heart of thankfulness? Are you cynical about church community? Do you know if you're cynical, there's something that God's got to do in your life? Doesn't mean you don't have convictions. If you're negative, you have a negative spirit, there's something that God has to do in your life. You're allowed to have convictions, but if you have a negative spirit towards things, something's happened in your heart where you have moved from forgiving, peace, and thankfulness. We want to put up our hands to be spiritually mature. We want to put up our hands to go to another level in our faith, to raise the bar. We forgive. We walk in peace, and we grow in thankfulness. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, at the end of the day, you do call us to bear fruit in our lives. At the end of the day, you call us to walk with you in forgiveness and in peace and in thankfulness. And I asked, Lord, today that you might just put your finger on just one thing in our life or one person in our life where we haven't yet forgiven. Those one-line statements, an action, it's a minor thing, but we still cling to it. We have those conversations in our head. Lord, I ask that you would help us forgive. To make room for people to not be perfect. May we make room for people. May we make room to allow people just to make mistakes. Father, put your finger on us where we haven't yet forgiven. Father God, teach us to draw near the Father who is the King of Peace so that we, when we walk into community, Lord, we don't gossip and we're not kind and gentle, but Father, when we have your peace, it helps us walk in gentleness. It helps us walk in kindness. Lord, forgive us for not drawing close to you. Forgive us for being empty vessels sometimes when we walk into community. And Lord, teach us to be thankful. Father, this is your church and you are the head of this church. You say this church is your bride.
So Lord, teach us to not be cynical. Teach us to be thankful. Father, we want to be a spiritual, mature community. So help us forgive. Help us walk in peace. And help us be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, we're finished a bit earlier today, which is great. You know why? You have time to get a sausage. You have time to then go visit Kids Hope and discuss that. And then you've got time to come to the prayer meeting afterwards. I love it when a plan comes together. So God bless you, my friends. Have a hot drink on us and, hang out and have fellowship. God bless you.